Approximately 15 minutes after the service, there will be slides on Israel. That will be about 8 o'clock or a little bit after. And now, Brother George Tabak will begin our evening devotional services.
Thank you, Brother Peter. Well, brethren, our theme for our Vesper service tonight is going to be along the line of "He that watereth is himself watered." And who of us have not experienced the truth of this precious scripture? It could be along many lines that we water, so to speak, bless others. Whether it's writing a letter of encouragement, sending a card to someone who's ill, or visiting one of the brethren in the hospital, remembering them in prayer, witnessing to the truth by word of mouth or handing out a tract, serving at a fair booth, attending activity meetings of the ecclesia, yea, even in coming to a convention such as this where we can come together, fellowship with one another, compare our experiences with one another, endeavor to encourage one another. All of these are ways in which we are endeavoring to help and bless one another. And I think we've all found that as we do bless, as we do use of ourselves, of our being, in the encouragement and blessing of others, that we really are the ones that are blessed more richly than perhaps those we are endeavoring to help. I remember an experience where two brethren were working rather late into the wee hours of the morning. And one brother kind of apologized to the other of having to work so late. And the other brother replied, "Oh, but that's when it's fun, when it really hurts." And isn't that, I'll never forget that statement. That's when it's fun, when it really hurts. We know what the young brother meant. When we are really spending and being spent of our vitality, we just have a inner feeling of well-being, knowing that the little bit that we can do to bless others is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and it really blesses us. All of our relationships with one another are because of the amazing grace of our Heavenly Father. So let's join in singing together this beautiful hymn, "Amazing Grace."
Bye.
always thrilled when singing that last verse, when we've been there 10,000 years. We really can't begin to comprehend what that means. Then we'll truly understand, I'm sure, the meaning of the scripture, that our trials are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in those who are found faithful in laying down our little all in the Master's service. Now we'd like to have our sister Jean Kristek read for us a poem entitled, "Flowers Leave Their Fragrance on the Hand That Bestows Them."
Flowers leave their fragrance on the hand that bestows them. There is an old Chinese proverb that, if practiced each day, would change the whole world in a wonderful way. Its truth is so simple, it's so easy to do, and it works every time, and successfully, too. For you can't do a kindness without a reward, not in silver nor gold, but in joy from the Lord. You can't light a candle to show others the way without feeling the warmth of that bright little ray. And you can't pluck a rose all fragrant with dew, with part of its fragrance remaining with you.
Oh, may we each strive with each day to bestow a flower, so to speak, upon others. And as we do, the fragrance will remain with us at the close of the day as we kneel in prayer to our Heavenly Father. We will recall a little blessing that we were able to be to someone. You know, it's truly a blessing to see how the Lord takes care of the needs of all the brethren. All don't have the same talents, the same abilities, but each member has a much needed function. Just like in our human body, we have the liver, the heart, the stomach. By themselves, they aren't very much, so to speak. But oh, when they work together as a body, as we desire to work together, each one playing a different part, a different function, but together praising our Heavenly Father and helping one another and working in the vineyard in the Lord's service. We want to participate in all of these activities with a joyful, happy spirit. Every opportunity of service should be looked upon as a privilege to realize that each one is but a stepping stone, as it were, to reach up higher to our Heavenly Father. Let's join in singing a hymn entitled, "In the Service of the King." Now, this is a hymn that some of you or many of you may have never heard. So we have four of our brethren who will sing the first verse, and then after they sing the first verse, we'll all sing together, all four verses, but you'll get the feeling of the melody, and it will be on the screen with the music as well. "In the Service of the King."
I am peace and joy that none
everyone.
I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. I am filled with joy that nothing else can bring in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. Through the sunshine and the toil I can sing in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. To His guiding hand forever I will sing in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. All that I possess to Him I gladly bring in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King.
Beautiful sentiments. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. Again, he that watereth is himself watered. We've asked our sister Estelle Gill to read a poem that describes the effect of a life of giving, a life of serving, of sharing with others, versus the opposite, that is, of a life of keeping things to oneself. Sister Estelle.
The key to living is giving. One is a sparkling sapphire jewel. Its waters are clean and clear and cool. Along its shores the children play, and travelers seek it on their way. And nature gives so lavishly her choicest gems to the Galilee. But on to the south the Jordan flows, into a sea where nothing grows. No splash of fish, no singing bird, no children's laughter is ever heard. The air hangs heavy all around, and nature shuns this barren ground. Both seas receive the Jordan's flow. The water is just the same, we know. But one of the seas, like liquid sun, can warm the hearts of everyone, while farther south another sea is dead and dark and miserly. It takes each drop the Jordan brings, and to each drop it fiercely clings. It hoards and holds the Jordan's waves, until like shackled, captured slaves, the fresh, clear Jordan turns to salt and dies within the Dead Sea's vault. But the Jordan flows on rapturously as it enters and leaves the Galilee. For every drop that the Jordan gives becomes a laughing wave that lives. For the Galilee gives back each drop. Its waters flow and never stop. And in this laughing, living sea that takes and gives so generously, we find the way to life and living is not in the keeping, but in the giving. Yes, there are two Palestinian seas, and mankind is fashioned after these.
A beautiful lesson to us. Both Galilee and the Dead Sea receive the same water from the same source. But oh, what a difference. Galilee gives back each drop. Its waters flow and never stop. The Dead Sea hoards and holds like captured slaves. And the fresh, clear Jordan turns to salt and dies within its Dead Sea's vaults. Oh, may we be like that. Sea of Galilee, a life of ever giving, of ever sharing, of every opportunity to share with others the most precious message in all this universe, a hope-filled message to others that they might at least have a glimmer of the blessings that God has in store for man. We'd like to join in singing a hymn now that, again, some of you may never have heard. It's called His Sheep Am I. And what we want to do with this hymn, we want all the sisters to be singing the melody and the brothers to come in on the what might be called like an echo. It's really very, very beautiful. And again, we have our brethren to sing the first verse for us, and then we'll all join together in singing all four verses again. His Sheep Am I.
Wherever I go, on the mountains, the valleys.
by step, my Lord and I.
We are the Lord's sheep, sharing together our experiences, being watered by one another, developing close friendships, friendships that will last not just a few years on this side the veil, but friendships that will last for all eternity. We will have our sister Virginia Sowers read to us a quote from the reprints on page 1821 entitled, Heavenly Treasure.
Heavenly Treasure. Treasures also of mind and character we shall find laid up in heaven. For nothing that is good and true and worthy of preservation shall be lost to those who have committed their investments to the Lord's keeping. The treasure in heaven will also include all those true and noble friendships founded in righteousness and truth here on earth, whether they be on the natural or spiritual plane. Nor will the special friendships of those on the spiritual plane, begun and cherished here and now, lose any of their value and sweetness when mortality is swallowed up in life.
We have so many blessings we share together now on this side the veil, and one of the greatest of all is the family of the Lord that we share together. A treasure that will last, as we mentioned, for all eternity. We're going to reflect upon a few of our brethren. Some of the younger brethren have heard the names of our brethren who have passed beyond, but may not have identified them by their names. And this is our dear beloved brother Irving Foss, who was an elder in Chicago for many years and then in Los Angeles. Brother and sister Dan Morehouse. We were nurtured under Brother Dan for many years. Dear saints of the Lord, elder of the Chicago Ecclesia, in the truth from Brother Russell's day. Brother and sister Zeno. Some of the younger brethren may not be aware that Brother Zeno was a pilgrim brother, and he established many small ecclesias. He would go into some small city. He would write a tract or a newspaper article, advertisement rather, advertise a public talk. And then he would give the talk, and then he would be there to arrange for a follow-up meeting, and he would often stay for weeks or months to establish the interest that was there. Brother Macaulay, another brother who served us for many years as a pilgrim, going from class to class. Brother and sister Megason, you know, many of us have Brother Megason's notes. He was a dear saint of the Lord, and Sister Megason, we have much indebtedness to his teachings. Brother Wylam. Brother Wylam was one who loved to sing, and you remember the many times we had of sharing his leading us in singing, Chautauqua, Bowling Green. Brother Ludlow Loomis, dear saint that we'll never forget. He was the personification of humility. You know, if there was a long line for an evening meal, where would Brother Loomis be? Always, he would be the last one. Took the lowest seat in the house, the lowest place, always dear to the Lord. Our dear Brother Swanson, who was an elder in the Los Angeles Ecclesia for many years. Just have to change the tray. Brother and Sister Seclemian from the San Francisco area. We were all blessed by their friendship and their fellowship. Brother Miles and our dear brother Coleman, both of which have finished their course. Brother Ken and Sister Mary Nail. Brother Ken also finished his course, serving the brethren many years faithfully. Brother Lloyd and Sister Berna Bolton from Vancouver, British Columbia. Brother Lloyd has finished his course and Sister Berna is quite ill herself now. Brother Darrell finished his course with our brother John Trezina. Now we're going to go on to some of the brethren that we rejoice in fellowship now at this convention and many other conventions as we walk together. Our dear brother Sam and Sister Jean and their daughter Pamela. We have many fond memories of our fellowship together in Gary, where Brother Sam was our elder. Brother Leon, Sister Barbara, and their two children, Rachel and Rebecca. Sister Esther Binda has been a blessing to us for so many years in her courage, her determination, and her love for the Lord under many handicaps. A few years ago, Brother Carl, Sister Marge, Sherelle, and Joanna. Brother Carlton and Kathy Chandler. Brother Albert and Anastasia Sheppelbaum. This one goes back a little ways. The Gilbert Rice family, through which we have been richly blessed for these many years. Brother Art and Sister Loretta Abramson, now working at the Dawn. Brother David, Sister Ruth. All part of our beautiful treasure that we have together. Brother Norman, Sister Rachel Rice, and her son, Brother Rodney. Brother and Sister Rick and Roberta Buss, who will be going to India shortly to serve the brethren there. Brother David, Sister Shirley Bruce, now in Seattle, formerly of Los Angeles. Brother Ziggy and Sister Verna Rogusky, now from Phoenix. Sister Marjorie Parkinson. And Brother Jim. Brother Ray and Sister Carm Luke. All part of our dear family in the Lord that we have come to know and to love. Sister Irene. Sister Irene has been an inspiration to me for many years as she has labored so faithfully at the Dawn. Sister Stella Hack, now from Portland, formerly from Chicago. This one goes back a little ways. Brother Irwin Kalinske, Michael Nakora, and George Tabak. Brother Charles, Sister Elaine Redeker. Jerry and Sharon Leslie, and their son Aaron. Brother Val and Sister Isabel Conrad from Los Angeles. Brother Al and Sister Betty Langford. Brother Art and Sister Esther Ledwinka. And you may not know some of these. This is Brother Dan, and this is Sister Terry. Sister Terry Brand, Sister Debbie McClellan, and Sister Barbara Nall Chastain. We had the privilege of living less than a mile apart in Gary for many years, and so truly we have many fond memories together of this dear family. Brother Richard and Sister Shirley, we've just returned from serving the brethren in Japan. Brother Ed and Sister Jackie LaMelle from Los Angeles. And Brother Ray and Sister Vernie Krupa. Truly, brethren, we wish we could have a picture of all of you, but these are just some of the photographs that we've taken over the years. But oh, what a treasure truly we have of the family in the Lord that we can share our experiences with, to laugh and be happy and rejoice in one another's joys, and to be sad and to mourn together with others who are going through hard and difficult experiences. Well, let us now, brethren, join in singing a hymn entitled, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. Truly the Lord has given us the script, so to speak, of His plan, that we can know with each passing day the silver lining that lies beyond the clouds of trouble that are about us. Again, it may not be known to some of you, so we will have our brethren sing the first verse, and then we'll all sing together. Oh, I'm sorry. Florence mentioned I skipped something here. Oh, so brethren will call on you shortly. I'm sorry. Yeah, we have another hymn before this one. A hymn we all know. O Master, let me walk with Thee. Expresses the desires and sentiments of consecration, to spend and to be spent in watering others, in blessing others, in whatever way we can. These sentiments are expressed so beautifully by Brother Russell in a quote from the sixth volume on page 137, on what is true sanctification. We asked our sister Carm Loop to read that for us.
True sanctification of the heart to the Lord will mean diligence in His service. It will mean a declaration of the good tidings to others. It will mean the building up of one another in the most holy faith. It will mean that we should do good unto all men as we have opportunity, especially to the household of faith. It will mean that in these various ways our lives, consecrated to the Lord, shall be laid down for the brethren day by day, opportunity by opportunity, as they shall come to us. It will mean that our love for the Lord, for the brethren, for our families, and sympathetically for the world of mankind will increasingly fill our hearts as we grow in grace, knowledge, and obedience to the divine word and example. Nevertheless, all these exercisings of our energies for others are merely so many ways in which, by the Lord's providences, our own sanctification may be accomplished. As iron sharpeneth iron, so our energies on behalf of others bring blessings to ourselves.
We cannot add to these beautiful words of our dear Brother Russell, as he was used of the Lord to bring us meat in due season. And because of the many truths that we have learned, that we know of our Heavenly Father, truly we can sing this song, I know who holds tomorrow, with full faith and confidence. Our brethren will sing the first verse, and then we'll all sing it, all the verses together.
I just live all day today.
Yes, through our daily experiences, we may not always understand why the Lord permitted what He did, but we know the promises of the Lord are sure for the blessing of all the families of the earth, and we're sure that the Lord has directed or overruled the present experience that we're going through. Now, in all our trials and in all our joys, He holds the blessings of tomorrow in His hand for all His creation. Have we ever considered, I'm sure you have considered, what it will be like that moment when our heart stops beating and in the next instant we are in the realms of glory beyond? We've asked our sister Jean Weeks to read a poem for us entitled "I Wonder What It Would Be Like." You know, we had the privilege of reading this poem to our dear brother Bruno Hack a few hours before he finished his course. And little did we know that in just a few hours he found out what it really will be like.
When life draws to its close and death is near, when loved ones' anxious faces fade away,
and earthly cares and joys all disappear. In this most solemn hour, my prayer will be, as you have promised, Lord, abide with me. I wonder what it will be like to die, if life's last breathless sighs will leave all dim, or if my mind, remote beyond all pain, will calmly, peacefully rely on him who, conquering death, arose, raised by God's power. Raise me, O Lord, from death at my last hour. I wonder what it will be like to wake, bursting the bonds of death, forever free from flesh and sin and all that would defile, clothed in God's gift of immortality. In the twinkling of an eye, beyond the veil, be with me, great high priest, or I must fail. I wonder what it will be like to rise into the heavens and see the Master's face, feeling his warm and all-embracing love as I kneel humbly in that holy place, while gratitude and love and peace combine. Lord Jesus, grant this joy be mine. I wonder what it will be like to see the saints of ages past in that glad day, the Lord's disciples and loved ones we knew and walked with while in this narrow way. While in that grand assembly, all will bring tributes of praise to you, dear Lord, as King. I wonder what it will be like to dwell in everlasting habitations blessed, where God and Christ and heaven's royalty reign over earth and worlds then manifest, where love and justice merge in power sublime. Permit me, Lord, to share this glorious time. I wonder what it will be like to bring the sin-sick, weary world for Christ to bless, to see their tear-filled eyes light up with hope as they begin to know God's righteousness. When vice and evil and all fears are stilled, and all your word, Jehovah, is fulfilled.
Oh, may it be our joy and privilege to so one day find out what that experience will really be like, when our Lord will take us by the hand and bring us into the palace of our Heavenly Father. And we meet all the angelic hosts and all the brethren who have gone before us. And thus together begin a work of serving and of blessing all of mankind and yet countless creations that will yet be brought into being. Some of us may experience that in the not-too-distant future. Others of us perhaps will have a few years longer. But oh, we will only experience it if we truly, with every fiber of our being, fulfill that covenant that we have made, that we will lay down our life in sacrifice, that we will cast off from us these things of the earth and think evermore of what lies beyond, and if faithful. With the thoughts of this poem in our mind, we'd like to sing a hymn that describes the last mile of the way. Again, it might be new to many of you. Our brethren will sing the first verse, and then we'll all join together. Think of it as we sing these words, putting yourself in the place of that last mile of the way.
If I work in the way of duty, if I work to love.
thee. If I were to walk the close of the day, I shall see the breaking in his beauty. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last for Christ I proclaim the glad story. If I seek for his sheep gone astray, I am sure he will show me his glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Hear the dearest of ties we must sever. Tears of sorrow are seen every day, but no sickness, no sighing forever. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I thought, and if here I am earnestly striven, and have tried all his will to obey, will enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the
That last mile of the way may be for some of us here. We may not be here at the next convention, but we will, for those who will not, theirs can be the joy of an eternity to follow in the heavenly courts. And now, brethren, in closing, may we endeavor to keep before our minds the thoughts of these precious hymns that we can sing together, thanking the Lord for all his blessings and the privileges that we have of working in the vineyard, of helping one another, blessing one another, encouraging one another. At the end of each day, may we, on our knees, ask the Lord to abide with us, that if it be his will, that we may awake to another day of serving him, the truth, and the brethren. And so may we conclude this day by singing together, "Abide with me, 'tis eventide."
Abide with me, 'tis eventide. The day is past.
past and gone. The shadows of the evening fall. The night is coming on. Within my heart a welcome is. Within my home abide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide. Abide with me, 'tis eventide. Thy walk today with me has made my heart within me burn, as I communed with thee. Thy earnest words have filled my soul and kept me near thy side. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide. Abide with me, 'tis eventide. And long will be the night. If I cannot commune with thee, nor find thee in thy light, the darkness of the world I fear would in my home abide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide.
And so, brethren, that brings our precious day of convention to a close. May we reflect upon the lessons of this day and the joys of the anticipation of what lies beyond the faithful.